listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, join the 100,000 plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns backers worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. That's brownsbackers.org. Just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Carlos Dansby. And then in hour number two, a little surprise, we expect to have at the bottom of hour number two, sometime around there, the newest member of the Cleveland Browns should be announced shortly. So we will have that live for you on CBD. Let's go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Vince in Cincy. Mike in Youngstown.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
That was smooth.
Good, Mike. How are you?
Good. Hey, Mike. A couple things I want to talk about. I'm not going to be able to talk about it because I don't have enough time. But I think if the Browns have a chance to take Edelman, you know, rumors have it they're pursuing him, and I think Hawkins is the better choice, but I can't see him waiting. And then the other thing is, as far as teams ahead of us that may be more desperate to pick a quarterback and that quarterback's available for us, I just it would kind of scare me a little bit, especially with O'Brien being, you know, like a kind of like a guru of quarterbacks. What do you guys think?
I don't know that it's necessarily a scare. I mean, it's always a scary thing. Yeah, when it comes to seeing how a quarterback can respond. But let's also look at the idea that if whoever is brought here, and we go back to what Nathan and I were saying earlier about having a consensus, having a deep-seated feeling that quarterback X is the guy you've got to have. I think it's also done with the idea that Kyle Shanahan can coach this guy to where you need him to be, that your offense can be a good fit for him whenever it is that he plays. And that could be in 2014. I'm not ruling that out. I'm just going with the idea that you may not see him on the field right away, but it doesn't mean that you won't see him on the field right away, and it also doesn't mean that your offense won't be strong even if he's not playing and Brian Hoyer's your guy, or they go somewhere else. Is the Matt Schaub discussion dead? I don't think so. There's something probably still there as well. This team continues to be active and make moves. I see proactive approach to everything. If they get a guy, I think they're getting a guy they want. We won't always know if who they've necessarily pursued and say didn't get, but that has a way of coming out at some point or another. Right now, I think they're making calculated moves on who they can have. And then as it applies to the quarterback position and the draft, and we're going to have so much time to dive into that as well, I think it's going to be done with the idea that this guy will fit not only because the personnel people feel he's the right choice, but your coaching staff, your scheme, your system, how he's going to get coached up and how he's going to get honed and ready for the season is all factored.
All factored in, absolutely. No question about it. All right, let's go to Phil in Brecksville. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hey, guys. You know, I was going to talk about Brian Hoyer, but the Alex Mack situation, something just doesn't sound right here. You guys were not here. The Carlos Boozer, the basketball player, you know,
know that
gentleman freaked one time and went. I just can't believe that Mike Pettine went down to meet with him with Shanahan. They looked each other in the eye. They said, yeah, I want to be here. And then turned around and his agent came out and said, you know, we can get a better offer. Tony Grossi said this morning, it's 50-50. This is not good. And something must have happened that we're not aware of. And what do you guys think about that?
Well, it's only a problem if he's getting an offer from somewhere else. And that becomes something that the Browns, like, say, the Bengals right now with Andrew Hawkins, would think twice about matching. As we sit here right now, you know, you said Tony quoted it as a 50-50 proposition. I think those percentages get lower in the favor of Mac and higher in favor of the Browns as you get deeper into free agency because the money is going away. You spend your biggest money early, and I don't know that I'm going to be open to anything. Maybe something is being concocted somewhere in a back room where the numbers would be difficult. And if he has trepidation about coming back, I've seen players with trepidation come back and play for their teams. And Alex Mack at some point is going to want to play football, and I'm pretty sure that if the minimal amount that he can get is a one-year, $10.3 million contract. He's coming into play for that, and it's not like he's on a team where he hates everybody or everything here. He still has a confidant in Joe Thomas who is very much aboard. I know there are other teammates who are Alex Mack guys on this football team, and he doesn't know Pettine yet as well as he probably needs to. Nobody does. The players haven't had that extensive level of communication. But honestly, I agree with you in the sense that you want somebody to tell you, like we heard Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner yesterday say, they're happy and aboard and all of that. But this is the business part of it with Alex Mack. And the business part of it might not favor him and might favor the Browns, or it may go the other way. But it's Thursday as we get into. If we go past this day and he's not getting an offer from another team that we hear of, I'm liking the chances of him being back with the Browns.
I feel very good about the chances of him coming back to the Browns as well. Yeah, we're starting, you know, we'll see what we hear as it goes forward. I know there are teams that are interested. I've heard Indy and I've heard Jacksonville as being very, very interested teams in Alex Mack. Will they be able to craft something that is unmatchable? That's what remains to be seen. And I'll tell you what, I know from here that it will be a war. Alex Mack is priority number one, numero uno. There is nothing that they think is more important to this team than keeping Alex Mack here. So they will do everything in their power to make sure it happens.
And the league has to go over those offers, okay? So keep in mind, the sharpest attorney minds out there, and whatever happens with his agent and however that may be, or his team of attorneys that try to put this together, there is another team of attorneys at the league office that will review and see if this thing passes muster. Vince in Cincinnati is back in the line with us. Vince, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys in free agency, you guys are getting kind of excited, but you created the first two holes and replaced them with two older guys. Even though they may be better, that remains to be seen. And to get Hawkins from Cincinnati, I think that would be a good move. But realize, you're the one that cut him in the first place. He was here.
They had a chance to have him. He got a rookie mini camp tryout and was not offered a contract back in 2008 and sat out that and also sat out that season. You're right. I mean,
the team cut
just
him.
Keep in mind that they're not the same. Yeah, they're not the same people. Right. You know that. It wasn't the same coach personnel people. That was like about 15 coaches and personnel people ago.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
But, I mean, a lot of holes to fill.
What would you like to see them fill?
Well, they definitely got to get the right quarterback to man the ship. But they need a receiver. They definitely need another receiver to make you an offensive threat.
What do you think of Hawkins being a Cincinnati guy?
I like Hawkins.
Why? What do you see in him? What do you like about him?
He's super quick, tons of speed, especially after he catches the ball. He's a brilliant guy that really spreads you wide open, I think. I mean, if he gets the ball and he's got some daylight, he's going to get some yardage.
He's tremendous after the catch. And some people were wondering on Twitter about Kyle Shanahan. They know he feeds his number one. We've stressed that over and over and over again, and that's going to be the case with Josh Gordon. We know he uses tight ends well. Perfect. But the slot receiver in his offense the last 2 years, slot receivers have combined for 209 targets, 142 catches, 1,458 yards, and 15 touchdowns. And when you think about that, that's pretty good in that offense for people lining up in the slot to produce that. Santana Moss 2 years ago, 7 touchdowns as an exclusive slot receiver. But that's what happens when guys line up in the slot in the Kyle Shanahan offense. That's pretty good production. It's about 700 yards a year, about 7.5 touchdowns, and you get the ball in the hands of a dynamic playmaker, which is not what he had. You got Santana Moss towards the end of his career and other guys who shuffled in various formations, but no playmakers quite like Baby Hawk.
All right, we're going to have a conversation coming up with one of the newest Browns, linebacker Carlos Dansby, going to be on the line with us. You met him yesterday, and you're going to learn more about him shortly on CBD. Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNO.